Beloved Church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this may be obvious to us, but today is Sunday. And on Sundays, we have the privilege and opportunity to come and gather here together in church. Each of us individually have entered through the doors of this building and found a place to sit for worship. But why? There are, after all, many religions and clubs that meet together, groups of people gathering together for various reasons and interests. What sets our church apart from the world? What makes our community different? Many would suggest that there is no difference between the church and any other social club. They would argue that those of us who have come to gather here together this afternoon do so out of a need for community, a most basic and a primal need for humans. The church is thought to be, in effect, a place that serves our needs, raising the question, what can I get out of church? And this is a grievous lack of understanding about Christ's flock. The scriptures reveal the truth regarding the church. The Bible tells of the incredible love Jesus has for his sheep, the church, and what he has done for her so that she will be securely in his hand forever. And this gospel message will be proclaimed this afternoon under this theme and points. Our theme this afternoon, the church is a community chosen by God for everlasting life with him. Our 3 points. First, claimed for eternal life. Second, united for eternal life. And third, sealed for eternal life. Our first point then, claimed for eternal life. Beloved, our triune God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he has chosen who are his sheep. And scripture tells us that God chose his sheep before the foundations of the world. The Holy Spirit teaches us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, that in love, God predestined some for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Those chosen are forever destined to enter into a covenant relationship with him, set apart from the world as his holy flock. Through Jesus Christ, the sheep have been claimed. And we can say that they have been ear-tagged. The Son of God, who sits enthroned in heaven, carries out this divine plan of election over time. It is he who gives the sheep eternal life. Whoever believes in him will never perish and will forever remain in his hand. And how does the Good Shepherd, the Son of God, claim his sheep for everlasting life? We confess in Lord's Day 21 that he does so by his Spirit and Word. Jesus Christ gathers, defends, and preserves for himself his sheep by his Spirit and Word. The Good Shepherd gathers in his sheep. He gathers them in, calling them by name. He calls them, and they hear his voice and come to him. They know his voice because they belong to him. And where does his voice lead his sheep? His voice leads his sheep into the sheepfold, into the church. Jesus actively calls out to his sheep, calling them to come to him. This is why our shepherd says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus not only calls, but he also brings the sheep into his one true universal church. All come together before him as one flock. They are eager to be in his presence and protection. Beloved church, here we are gathered together this afternoon. Rams, ewes, and lambs. Called, brought, and gathered together as his flock. Some of us have been listening to his voice for many years, and some of us may be listening for the very first time. Our Lord Jesus called each one of us here by name, personally. You may have thought that you came to church this afternoon because you made the decision to come, but that is not the case. We on our own would not make such a decision. If it were up to us, we would still be scattered about, wandering around aimlessly. We enter the door of the sheepfold only by him. He calls us, he brings us, and we enter by him. We may not know all the finer details of how God has brought us here, but here we are in the sheepfold. Even if we came for our own selfish reasons, the shepherd still brought us here. It is all him, and there is no room for our pride. Without the voice of Jesus calling the sheep, there would be no flock. The church would not exist without Jesus actively working by his Spirit and Word in the hearts of his sheep. And this is all according to God's divine plan, his divine will. This is why we arrived here this afternoon. We are not choosing God, but God is choosing us. To him belongs all the praise for his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in Jesus Christ. What love the Good Shepherd has shown that he has directed us here in his presence with purpose. And what purpose is that? For the purpose of everlasting life with him. The church, us as a flock, have been set apart, chosen by God for a glorious inheritance. Christ's Spirit is given to each one of us. By his Spirit, he has drawn us to sit under the preaching of his word. And it is here where our faith grows and flourishes as we feast in the pasture of the Good Shepherd. As Romans chapter 10, verse 17 reads, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. True faith in Christ comes from the Holy Spirit working in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. And God uses messengers of the word to save his chosen people for everlasting life. And this is why, for example, he sent Jonah to the great Assyrian city of Nineveh. It was God's divine choice to save the people of Nineveh. He directed Jonah to call the people to repentance. And by God's grace, they would repent of their evil ways. And God remains active. Brothers and sisters, we confess that through Christ's active ministry, we belong to him, ear-tagged for everlasting life. God's covenant relationship is initiated in him, and he mercifully gathers us to himself. And now that we have been gathered together, we notice that the fruit of God's divine work is the forming of a community. And in our second point, we will notice how communion with Christ leads to communion with others. Our second point then, united for eternal life. God holds his sheep in his hand. And as living members of the sheepfold, we are destined for everlasting life. We may be sitting here as individuals, but when we look around, there are many of us here this afternoon. There are some we know well, and some that we don't know as well. There are some that are older, and some that are younger. Some that are doing well, while others are not doing as well. There are those who are born and raised in Canada, while some may have come from overseas. Such a diverse group. And here we are today, all sitting together in our church building here in Dunnville. Isn't it incredible how God has brought us all here together this Sunday afternoon? But who else is in God's hand? We confess that the Son of God gathers, defends, and preserves for himself a church from the beginning of the world to its end. That means next to us in God's hand is also Adam and Eve, Father Abraham, Rahab, Ruth, King David, the people of Nineveh, the Apostle Paul, and many others. All the saints that have gone before us are with us in his hand. Plus more being added from around the world, possibly even as we speak and sit here this afternoon. All of us are gathered by God for his purpose, everlasting life with him. All undeserving men and women whom God, our almighty creator, chose out of the whole human race to display his love and mercy. The Son of God has claimed each one of us. He has done so, as we mentioned earlier, by his Spirit and Word. And it is also by this means that he unites us all together. There is one flock, one shepherd. There is also one eternal Spirit and one faith. This means that there is one covenant, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. The same Spirit dwells in each of us, and we are united by one faith in Jesus Christ. Through the work of the Spirit, a triangle forms: Christ, others, and ourselves. And there is communion occurring between all three. Sometimes we get a taste of the fellowship that takes place between us and our Lord Jesus Christ and others. Like when we experience, whether physically or visually, when we experience the communion that we have with him when we come together and partake in his Holy Supper. A spiritual blessing that is enjoyed by us all together, with the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup. He reminds us of his death on the cross. Through his Spirit, this sacrament strengthens our faith. And with a faith strengthened by Christ's active Spirit, we are encouraged. We are encouraged to have active fellowship among the sheep. And this is what is meant by being living members. It is our duty to be active within the church. God, in his love, has set us apart from the world and has brought us together forever. And think about that. We are forever together with our fellow brothers and sisters, never to be separated. Now we in love must serve one another. And although each one of us is given the same Spirit, our gifts are not the same. It is necessary then that we use the gifts we have received for the benefit and well-being of other sheep. And now I'm not sure how common sheep are here in Dunville, but perhaps you have watched sheep in a pen or pasture before. And when sheep, when they sense danger, like when a wolf or a coyote is nearby, they tend to come together, they group together in the center. And they do this for protection, providing safety for one another by sticking close together. Each sheep doing what best serves the needs of the next. Our church then is not a social club that serves our needs, but rather it is where we use our gifts for the benefit and well-being of other members, selflessly serving one another in love. Consider the early church, shortly after Pentecost. Once they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they believed and had all things in common. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 45 through 47, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." The Lord was blessing the early church's devotion to Him and each other. This devotion was leading to some being saved. The early Christians used what was gifted to them for the present and eternal well-being of Christ's flock. Our gifts must be used for the same purpose. For example, if a member has wandered away from the flock and has begun grazing in another pasture among the goats, those who are gifted spiritually must urge him or her to return to the safety of the flock. The sheep may be tagged, but they can become unwell, grazing on bad feed. It is our responsibility to prevent each other from feeding on poison. Part of that responsibility is praying that the wandering sheep may listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, hoping that they may return to the safety of the flock. Another gift is that of hospitality, inviting others into our homes so they know that they too belong to the flock. Those who are gifted with much wealth can help those who have less. And we can all sympathize with each other's weaknesses, praying for one another, while also rejoicing with those who rejoice. Together as a church, we have been blessed with many gifts. Brothers and sisters, do not be selfish with your gifts, but use them readily and cheerfully for the current and everlasting well-being of other members of the flock. Remember, we as sheep are claimed and united in God's hand together, chosen by Him according to His good pleasure. The fruit of this blessing is that we, through the Spirit, by faith, working through love, actively protect one another, like the sheep in the pen, huddling together because of the presence of danger. Now, sometimes the presence of danger gives us a sense of great insecurity. We may think, God holds me in his hand. But what if I slip through his fingers? Brothers and sisters, in our third point, we will learn, once claimed and united by Christ, forever claimed and united by Christ. Our third point then, sealed for eternal life. We've said it many times already. God holds his sheep in his hand. And later we will sing the well-known hymn that I'm sure many of the children here know, Loving Shepherd of Thy Sheep. And in this hymn, we will sing that none can pluck them out of thy hand. His sheep will remain in his hand forever. But we don't always feel this way. Our sins and shortcomings can often bring about doubt. It can even lead us to question our salvation. And we may ask, is this really possible? Is it possible for me to remain in his hand forever? I have done and said some terrible things in my life. How can I be sure that I am a member of the flock? Only by his given Spirit can we be sure. His given Spirit assures us that we share in Christ and all his benefits, all his treasures and gifts. And recall what we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. In him, that is in Christ, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And let's think again about those privileged moments when we participate in the Lord's Supper. Our Lord directs our hearts to trust in his perfect sacrifice offered on the cross, where he poured out his blood and sacrificed his body so that whoever would believe in him would receive eternal life. God's wrath demanded payment, and the Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. We are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that he who knew no sin was made to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. What joy and comfort it is for us that God's wrath is no longer upon us. Christ made us right before God so that we would no longer stand condemned. And we are not simply declared innocent, but righteous. And this too is God's purpose for his chosen sheep. He chose us in Christ so that we would be holy and blameless before him. This word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, is sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is promised to us, and the Lord never breaks his promises. He is faithful. He guarantees everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus preserves his chosen people, his church, by giving his Spirit to them. He preserves us by continually working in our hearts, sanctifying us, making us holy before God. And he remains with us forever guaranteeing that his work will never cease. He will never cease to lead us to a life that seeks repentance of sins. And those who seek repentance can be assured that their sins are forgiven. Notice how personal the answer of question 56 is. I believe that God, because of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, nor my sinful nature, against which I have to struggle all my life, but will graciously grant me, sinful me, the righteousness of Christ, that I may never come into condemnation. You can be comforted that God will graciously forgive your sins and remember them no more when you ask for forgiveness. So the call is here. Repent and believe. Repent of your sins and believe that in Jesus Christ your sins are forgiven. Call upon the Lord and confess your sins and be assured that they are forgiven, because this is His promise for us who are called into His flock. God promises that in Christ we are made holy and blameless. This ought to cause us to cling to and follow the Good Shepherd and praise Him for laying down His life for us. We are so securely in His hand that no one will ever be able to snatch us from Him. Once in the sheepfold, forever in the sheepfold, by God's grace. Brothers and sisters, as we entered into church this afternoon, we entered into the rich pastures of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He called us each by name to come, and we listened to His call. Along with other sheep, we ate and had our fill in the presence and protection of the Good Shepherd. We can rejoice that our Lord has claimed us by His Spirit and Word and has led us here for the preservation of everlasting life with Him. This is not a social club or another religious center. This is Christ's church, which He paid for with His blood. This is where the Holy Spirit works. There is no other community like her. To Him be the glory and honor forever. Amen.